Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Thursday, December 26th. Week 17 is underway. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. Let's get you set up with, it's a quick one today, as you can see. But I wanted to roll through some thoughts on what we saw yesterday and then quickly break down some injury info and a few other moving pieces around the NFL right now. So like I said, really quick one. But in the meantime, do me a favor. Head on over to FTNFantasy.com. Go check out what we have to offer over there. You can use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Hey, we're about to hit Dynasty season. So you've been waiting. You're like, I've had people tell me that. They're like, yeah, I listened to your podcast for a while, but I didn't subscribe. Finally, after you said it enough times, I subscribed and I love it. I get it. I mean, I'm that same way. I drag my feet on stuff too, but I'll tell you this. The site is, you know, a lot of things on the site really are like ideal things for me. Things that I use. So therefore, I want to share them with other people. That's why the waiver wire tool was created. I just didn't find sifting through waiver wire articles as a player very beneficial. You know, it'd be easier if there was just one tool, sortable, filterable, all of that. And people loved it this year. We released that this year. We're always releasing new stuff. And we have a whole list of things that are about to come out in 2025 and then even beyond that. We're never going to do any less. We're always going to do more at FTN. And I know what we have right now you're going to like. So go check it out. FTNFantasy.com, of course, it is fully updated. And that was a labor of love yesterday during those Christmas games. Those Christmas games, potentially a labor of love if you had the wrong side of them. Yikes. If you had the Pittsburgh or Houston side, any piece of them, with the exception of maybe Jalen Warren. But let's roll through them really quickly. Here's some brief observations. Kansas City, Pittsburgh. Like I said, with the Steelers, nothing was doing here. Warren ended up a good PPR asset because, I mean, he averaged 6.5 yards per carry. He looked explosive in this game, 11 for 71, and then 5 for 41 as a pass catcher. So he puts up 9.1 PPR points right there just as a pass catcher, adding on that 7.1, and you got a decent day. Now, meanwhile, Najee Harris, who did top 1,000 yards in this game on the season, went 13 for 74, and 2 for 7. So he was not a good asset. But to his credit, as I said, he topped 1,000 yards. This is 4 straight seasons to start his career. That is a rare thing in the NFL at running back. That's a hard thing to do. Now we've seen it. You know, obviously the attention is on Mike Evans to see if he can do it for 11 straight seasons as a receiver, but it is hard at running back. The longevity, the fact that you just have to stay healthy, which he has done. First time we've seen this done since Chris Johnson. Now, we're talking over a decade ago, so that's pretty cool for Harris. It's not a sexy career. He is not a sexy fantasy option. He's a lunch pail guy, but he should get a lot of credit for this, credit where credit's due. Anyway, you had Pickens back. It really didn't matter for Russell Wilson, 205 passing yards, threw a pick in this one. He did run for a touchdown, so it wasn't absolutely devastating if you used him in Superflex, but I had him on the outside looking in at the top 24 this week. So something worth noting there at least. But otherwise, you know, Pickens was out there. He was frustrated. Really the only asset in the passing game who did anything was Freiermuth. And I say Warren was good. I guess Freiermuth was fine if you streamed him. Otherwise, it was a rough outing. We'll see what they do from here. But honestly, this question, the question of how good are the Steelers was answered from me. I mean, if they, especially if they lose to Cincinnati. Their last three games, they lost to three playoff teams, right? Philly, Baltimore, and Kansas City. They didn't just lose, though. They lost 27-13, 34-17, and then 20-19. Like, they got beat up. They got beat up in these games. And it wasn't just not having George Pickens out there the last 2 weeks, because obviously he gets back out there and, you know, they get boat raced basically by Kansas City. So next week answers a lot of questions. I would love to see Cincinnati in a situation where they win, they get in. Oh, that'd be even better because then it's a playoff game. But we shall see there. On the Kansas City side, Patrick Mahomes looks fine, doesn't he? He looks fine. He goes out there 320-3. Throws one to Watson early. Gets one to Worthy and then Kelsey. Worthy and Kelsey have big games. Worthy's really turning it on. 8 for 79 in this one and the score. Kelce goes 8 for 84 and a score. But with Worthy, 9 targets. So he hit double-digit targets last week. He hits 9 in this one. After, you know, a slow start to the season where I was like, oh, is he going to kind of be a gadgety guy? He gets like 2 or 3 catches. They, you know, have him on a jet sweep and things like that. Or, you know, is he really going to emerge to be the player we saw at Texas? Now he's emerging as that guy. You know, at Texas, he was a short and intermediate receiver, and that actually really fits with what Mahomes does. The defenses, if they're showing, you know, too high safety, he's not going to push the ball vertically. He's not dumb like that. He's going to take what the defense gives him. And so the smart thing here for Kansas City is, okay, if you know that that's how defenses are going to play you, then let's get rack guys and run after catch guys. And why not have the, you know, one of the fastest players to enter the league in league history as your rack guy? I mean, I love that. So he's been turning it on. Future's bright there. Marquise Brown, 4 for 46, didn't do much here, though his routes did expand. He ran more routes. And this is really setting up for the postseason. As far as the backfield, Kareem Hunt scored. Pacheco got banged up. Nobody's still playing over 50% of the snaps. So it's a situation where you avoid. Like, Kareem Hunt scored. Great. He had 8 points, like fantasy points. That's it. So it wasn't a good game and obviously not a great season for Pacheco. Very frustrating there. But again, they're gearing up towards the postseason. They don't give a crap about us, and nor should they really. Hopkins, a bad game as well. Hopefully you avoided that one. 2 for 7 for him. Let's move over to the second game, which I thought was going to be a scoregami, but it wasn't. Apparently it has. The 31-2 score has happened 2 other times in NFL history. It hasn't happened since the 60s, but what a weird game, right? This one was another one that answered questions. Like, Baltimore is facing a playoff team here. They're facing a division-winning team in Houston, and they mopped the floor with them. Now, I'm not going to knock Houston here. You know, any given Sunday or Monday or Saturday or Thursday or apparently Wednesday, any given day, any team could potentially show up here. And yeah, it was a frustrating day for Houston. You got almost nothing doing. Like, there wasn't any startable options when you look back at it. And yes, of course, I rank Nico Collins very highly, and he goes 3 for 59. Like, it was a good 3 for 59, but it was still only 3 for 59. So very frustrating for him. Joe Mixon, the decline at the end of the season continued. You know, this is a defense that had fared well against the run. You could throw on them a little bit, but obviously Stroud wasn't able to get anything doing here. You had Mechie involved. That'll be interesting going forward for the dynasty heads. But otherwise, really just not a lot doing at all for Houston in a game where they scored 2 points. Like, man, talk about a bad time for that to happen with the fantasy championships on the line. Now, it was good for Lamar. I know some people were a little ticked off that he was, you know, pulled at the end of the game, but they didn't need him. And, you know, why risk it if you're the Baltimore Ravens? It's funny, if I would have told you before the game he was going to complete just 10 passes for 168 yards, you probably would have been reluctant to use him, but it really didn't matter for him. And also, I mean, to add to that, yeah, he's only going to carry the ball 4 times. Okay, 168 and 2 through the air. All right, that's pretty good. 4 for 87 and the long touchdown that he said he was jogging on. So Lamar has a day. Derrick Henry has a day, 27 for 147, and he catches 2 balls. Got to love that right there. 2 for 18. Mark Andrews out there lumbering. Is that what you call it on that long catch? He's just lumbering. And then he does catch a touchdown later, so 2 for 68. If I said he was only going to have 2 catches, you know, you'd probably run away from that. But 2 for 68 and a score ends up being a pretty good day. All around, really good with the exception of Zay Flowers because they didn't need to use him. And that's unfortunate because I did think Houston was going to keep this closer. In games that are closer or in games that they play from behind, Zay Flowers does quite well. In games like this, they don't need him. He isn't going to do well, right? In most instances. Like, he saw a third of the targets. Lamar threw 15 balls. Zay Flowers had 5 targets. It's just he didn't do much with them. They didn't really need him to do much with them. So that's kind of where we are. It's unfortunate, but those are the breaks in football. Okay, so I'm not going to say anything about tonight's game if you're listening to it after the fact while you're in the clear. Tomorrow I'll do the regular podcast, like always, by the way, where I'll preview. This will be the final preview show of the 2024 fantasy football campaign. Then next week we'll shift things up a little bit on the podcast. Somebody was asking me about off-season pods. Typically it's two or three per week. It won't be five per week. Maybe in the build up to the draft, but otherwise we won't go back to that until we get to like July, right? But I'll be doing plenty of shows here on this feed. So don't do that thing. People do this thing where they like unsubscribe after the fantasy season's over. Hey, just download it. You know, you don't even have, if you don't want to listen, all right, I get it, but just download it. All right. Okay. So we're going to do this real quick. Pay some bills. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of the latest news in the NFL. And here we are. We are back. A lot of moving pieces right now in terms of injury. I will say this. There were a few that came out yesterday. I'm still recording this. It's relatively early. I'm not going to get practice reports from most of the teams today because it's still like it's like 12:30 Eastern. But yesterday, we got a bunch of practice reports. So, for example, Devontae Adams, Terry McLaurin, Malik Nabers, Tyrone Tracy, all listed as non-participants, so DNPs, and they were estimated yesterday for all those teams. So because they were estimated, you know, I'm not going to put much into it. You know, those teams were, you know, celebrating Christmas, blah, blah, blah. We got to see what happens today. Now, if any of those guys go DNP again, yeah, the panic meter goes up a little bit, but I'm not freaking out. We just have to wait and see what it says on Friday. And, you know, I've seen this plenty of times before. You get a DNP on Wednesday, you get limited on Thursday, you go full on Friday and everything's great. But people freaked out for the first 24 hours after the DNP came out. It's just not worth our time. You know, somebody was asking me, you know, would you start Luke McCaffrey? And I'm like, wait, A, probably not, but B, like you're getting way ahead of yourself on Terry McLaurin. Let's just wait and see. There's no, it's different than like, say, Jaylen Waddle. He didn't practice yesterday, but he didn't play last week. So for guys who didn't play last week and then they go DNP, now my concern for them not playing again is fairly high. And it's just after the first practice. Now, if they played last week, they go DNP, you know, could be rest. I mean, it's week 17. So we got to see what's happening there. Tony Pollard, DNP as well. We'll see if he does the same thing as last week. Obviously, our level of trust for him has moved down since he's been banged up. I think he's more of a flex option if he plays. If he doesn't play, then yeah, Tajay Spears becomes a nice RB2 option. And if you picked up Tajay Spears this week, not bad. But we'll have to see what happens with that practice report. I am burying the lead a little bit, though. So let's talk about Jalen Hurts. Here's what I have so far. Yesterday, Rappaport said he didn't practice and it put his status in doubt. Now, I find that to be a little bit of a misleading tweet from Rappaport because I don't think that's a fair characterization unless he knows something we don't, which he very well could. He very well could know, oh, he's still in the early steps and he's not going to be to step four by Thursday. Like, he may know that. So there is that distinct possibility. But he could have also used the wrong word. You know, for me, I would have said put his status in question, not in doubt. In football, those two things mean two very different things. So we'll see what ends up being the real here. But I can tell you, for a guy in concussion protocol to not practice the first practice of the week after just landing in concussion protocol is completely normal. Like, there's no alarm bells here whatsoever. So what do we know currently? Well, Jeff McClain, who covers the Eagles, he's on the Eagles beat. He tweeted out, Nick Sirianni offered no update on Jalen Hurts other than he is still in concussion protocol. McClain says, we'll see how much, if anything, he can do at practice, but it's becoming more difficult to see him being ready for Sunday's game against the Cowboys. This is another one, like, yeah, Sirianni didn't say anything, but guess what? Sirianni like never says anything. He doesn't talk about injuries. Like, he's not very transparent with that. But he doesn't have to. You know, in fact, he outright lied about Jalen Hurts earlier in the year, or like misspoke or whatever. I don't know. It's funny. So what are we looking for? And you may have this information by the time you listen to this. We're looking for today's practice status. If he goes DNP, guess what? I'd say there's like a 97% chance he's not playing. You know, I don't want to say 100% because I have seen some guys go DNP and still play, but it is very rare. So if he goes limited, he's not guaranteed to play, but 95% chance he is playing. We just need to see where he is today, because really the limited practice indicates that he's in step four. It's a 5-step process for concussion protocol. And essentially, like, translated, there's a little bit more of a fancy, you know, it's a fancy wording for it in the NFL's rule book, but essentially the fourth step is a limited practice and the fifth step is a full practice, paraphrased. So that's what we're looking for. If we get a limited today, then yeah, he's going to suit up. If not, it's going to be Kenny Pickett. Now, I'm not going to panic over AJ Brown, because AJ Brown did score a touchdown with Pickett under center. He put up a decent week, and basically all that production was from Pickett. So you do have that. I mean, Devontae Smith becomes a little bit more volatile, but Pickett can throw the ball around the yard a little bit. He's obviously a downgrade on Jalen Hurts, but again, I wouldn't panic if I have AJ Brown. Just probably move him to more of a fringe wide receiver one, maybe a front end wide receiver two, whatever you want to call it. And then Smith will be, I mean, he's a wide receiver three anyway, but he'd be more of a back end wide receiver three. I would expect a lot of Saquon. I expect a lot of Saquon regardless, because they are chasing history, whether it's just a 2,000 yard season or the Eric Dickerson record. They're still chasing history, and they're going to go after that thing. So be careful with that. But that's sort of the latest that we have on Jalen Hurts, and we'll see what we get from here. James Conner, I'm getting a lot of questions about him. So he's been limited in practice. Like, I don't have today's practice. This is their final practice of the week today. But he's been limited, and Jonathan Gannon said he's making good progress. So there is a strong likelihood that he plays here, in which case that would take the whole Trey Benson thing off the table. Just be aware of that. Still some moving pieces, but what are we looking for today? I mean, honestly, he'll probably end up being listed as questionable, but if he gets limited in all 3 days, he's on the right side of questionable, but only barely. If he goes full today, then even if he's listed as questionable, I don't care. He's playing, but it seems like he's trending towards being on the field. No guarantees there, but that is the latest on the James Conner front. One other note that I saw here that I found intriguing. Jerod Mayo said that benching Ramondre Stevenson for Antonio Gibson is a possibility. That is interesting. He said, I think everyone understands how important the football is. We're a team that just can't turn the ball over. And he said, I thought Gibby, when he got in there, did a great job, that being Antonio Gibson. He said, we'll go back and talk to it as a staff, but that definitely is a possibility. So, we'll try and get as much information on this as possible. Hopefully I have a little bit more on this tomorrow, but it is very volatile. We know it's been volatile with him anyway, but if you are somebody who's been relying on Stevenson as, say, a flex option, just be careful on that front. I don't think there's anything else major here. Like, we're keeping an eye on David Njoku and Cade Otton, but neither one look like they're trending towards playing. Of course, things can change in the next couple days. We're also awaiting what the Browns are going to do at quarterback, and there are major implications here. If it's Dorian Thompson-Robinson again, I don't have any confidence in Jerry Jeudy, but he went DNP in the estimated report yesterday. Thompson-Robinson did. If it's Jameis, like, Jameis is not good for the Browns, but boy, is he good for us. I would have more confidence, significantly more confidence in Jeudy. He'd move up into wide receiver two territory almost certainly. I would have more confidence in Jerome Ford. And yes, he's ripped off long runs each of the last 2 weeks. He does look a lot more fresh than the defensive players. It helped that Nick Chubb was taking a lot of the workload in recent weeks before he landed on IR. But they could move the ball more effectively. Like, granted, Jameis is going to throw interceptions. That's what he does. But he also is going to throw a lot of completions and move the ball up and down the field, whereas Dorian Thompson-Robinson is just not able to do that. So we're in wait-and-see mode on that one, too. I should have more info tomorrow on the podcast. Okay, so enjoy Thursday Night Football. Remember, even if you're in a hole, the goal is to still score the most points possible out of your roster, not chase upside. Try to, avoid panicking too much in these instances here. You follow along with me on social media on Twitter/X. I am @JeffRatcliffe on Blue Sky. Same thing, @JeffRatcliffe. And on Instagram, @JeffRatcliffe. I will catch you on the flip tomorrow for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.